We'll begin this morning with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us as you promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in their midst. And we pray that you open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, reveal the meaning of Scripture to us, and by His power and might grant that the seed which is sown this day in our hearts may sprout and grow and produce fruit unto perfection. We pray this in your name. Amen. We'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes again. Service today is coming from La Crosse, Wisconsin, and we are having a beautiful, beautiful spring day today. The sun is out, and it's starting to warm up a little bit here in Wisconsin after a long, cold winter. And a lot of the birds are coming back now. It sounds like spring, and now it's even starting to feel a little bit like spring. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to John chapter 12. Last week we witnessed one of the greatest events in all the Gospels and probably the greatest act of love which was shown to Jesus during His three-year ministry. And now as a follow-up this morning, we hear the hiss of the serpent. Nature teaches us that where the light shines the brightest, the shadows are the darkest and the clearest cut. And we have a good example of that here this morning in John chapter 12. You know the context. The Lord Jesus, 1 week before His crucifixion, has been invited to a supper at a house of Simon the leper. And during the course of the meal, Mary came up holding in her hands an alabaster box of very precious ointment. Without saying a word, she broke the box and poured it on the feet of Jesus. A greater act of love had never been shown. And it's followed now by a vicious, vicious attack against her. An attack which was instigated by Judas Iscariot. And as we compare Scripture with Scripture and we look at these two people standing so close to each other, the very same room, Mary of Bethany, And Judas Iscariot, as we look at the two, we're struck by a number of similarities and at the same time contrasts between these two people. Mary gave freely something that was worth 300 pence. And only a short time after that, Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Mary was in Simon's house. Judas was a Simon's son. Not the same Simon, I don't think, but one with the same name. Mary had a box. Judas had a bag. Mary was a worshiper. Judas was a thief. Mary drew the attention of everyone to Christ. Judas tried to turn away the thoughts of the people from Christ to the poor. At the very same time that the Holy Spirit was moving Mary to pour out her love for Christ, the devil was moving the heart of Judas to do his worst against Christ. Mary's devotion has given her a place in the hearts of every true child of God. Judas, by his act of treachery, went to his own place to be with his own people in the pit. The event is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and John. And as we look at it and ponder it, we are struck by the clever camouflage of this whole episode. Starting with Matthew, the event is found in Matthew 26. You might want to open your Bibles to that page, Matthew 26. We're going to look at a few verses there, beginning at verse 6. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Now, it doesn't say anything here about Judas, does it? It just says, Matthew just tells us that his disciples were the ones that attacked Mary. And they had indignation when they saw what she did. They were angry, very upset with her. But all of the disciples, this is rather shocking. Now we look at Mark. Mark chapter 14. Look at verses 3, beginning at verse 3, Mark chapter 14. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? Where it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor." And they murmured against her. Again, no mention of Judas until you get to the Gospel of John. And as we read the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we start with the first verse, we're kind of reminded of Psalm 23, verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And a table here was prepared for Christ. A bunch of his friends were there, but also an enemy. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very precious, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Now the Holy Spirit reveals to us what was in the heart of Judas. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. The word bare can also be translated, he took out what was put therein. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us that in spite of the way things looked on the outside, and it did look very good, because all of the disciples bought into this. In spite of the way it looked on the outside, Judas couldn't have cared less about the poor people. He was the treasurer. And he had the money bag. And when nobody was looking, his hand would go inside the bag and siphon some of it out. Now, if you look at something like Luke chapter 8, you get a little hint of what's happening here. Luke chapter 8, just a few verses that tell us a little bit here. I'm going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3, Luke chapter 8. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. This is interesting. Herod's house had a believer in it. And Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. So these women evidently were quite wealthy and were giving offerings to the Son of God. And Judas was the one that was carrying the treasury bag. He's the one that took care of it all. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, there's a little hint of something else here. Acts chapter 1, verse 18. And I believe that the money that these women gave was part of this. I was talking about Judas in Acts chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. This is a description of the death of Judas. But he had purchased a field and probably used some of the money that these women had given to Jesus in order to do it. So the guy was a thief. Now, there are different lessons that we learn from this account. And the first lesson would be this. If you are going to do something that is really going to honor and glorify Jesus Christ, it's not going to take long before you hear the hiss of the serpent. Because the devil will not like it. The devil hates Jesus Christ. The two have nothing in common. And if there's one thing the devil can't stand, it galls him no end, it's to see people honoring and glorifying the Son of God. He doesn't like it. And this is the reason why, why a lot of times there's so much trouble in the church. You know, one of the biggest mistakes, it seems to me, that pastors are making in our day and age is the mistake of believing that everybody in their congregation is a Christian. Oh, things go wrong, and they attribute that to being weak believers. Well, there might be a lot more to it than that. I don't know how many of you heard the true story of the Trojan horse? You know what the Trojan horse is? You heard that, I don't know. Trojan horse illustrates something. The Greek army, launched an attack against the city of Troy. And they attacked it for many days and they couldn't conquer it. You know, Troy was a city that was surrounded by great big walls. You could not get in it. Couldn't get over it. Time after time after time, their attack was turned back. Well, one morning, when the Trojans woke up and looked out off the top of their walls, they saw that all the Greeks were gone. During the night, they had completely left the country. At least that's the way it looked. There was nothing to be seen except there was a large wooden horse there that the Greeks had left. So the Trojans opened the gates of their city, and they went out and took this horse, and they moved it inside the city. Probably kind of a trophy of victory. Pulled that thing in there. And that night, after the darkness had fallen, a trap door in the bottom of the horse opened up. And there were some Greek soldiers inside. And they went and opened the gates to the city. And the Greek army had come back under the darkness of night. And they went into the city. And destroyed it. They couldn't get in the city from the outside, but they worked from the inside. They infiltrated very cleverly. And that's the way they destroyed the city. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to infiltrate the church. And in our day and age, it has not been very difficult to do. Because the welcome mat has been rolled out to just about anybody and everybody. The old idea that Jesus loves you. And so people are brought in by the hundreds in our day and age. But what has been said
about the cost of discipleship. You know, there are things that have to be done if you're going to be a Christian. There are things that you have to do, like submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's part of all this. And obey the word of the gospel is part of all that. That's not being much talked about in our own day and age. One thing for sure, anybody who's a member of a Christian church should at least believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what this is all about. If they don't believe that, they're not qualified. And if they're living in open sin, they shouldn't be qualified. And homosexuals and lesbians shouldn't be qualified. Or lying and cheating and stealing during the week, they're not qualified. There should be a love for the Word of God. And this should be a given. That anybody that calls himself a Christian should study Scripture. And that should be a given. But how often is this the case? The congregation I served one time had a youth group. I may have mentioned this before, I don't know. They were going to go on a hayride one night. And the principal of the school had a meet out at his house, and before they went on the hayride, he was going to have a Bible study with them. So he opened the Bible and started reading it. After a couple of minutes, they all walked out. I walked out. I'm going to take this stuff. I'm going to go on a hayride. Well, where do you think they got that kind of an attitude? And dream that up on their own. A council. I tried to get the council to study Scripture for 45 minutes before the council meeting. I promised them the meeting won't take any longer. I'll give you that word on that. We'll get out at the same time we usually do. We'll get everything all done. We'll start with studying the Bible. They voted it down. And people like this, if you're going to be a member of a council and you're making decisions for the church, at least once a month you should be in Scripture, right? That's when we met. They won't even do that. The church has been infiltrated. And so when the Word of God is preached and taught in the power of the Holy Spirit, sparks are going to fly. The sparks are going to fly, just like it did here. The hiss of the serpent. Another truth is that sometimes, and this is sad, sometimes true children of God are going to be involved in this. They get sucked into it. The disciples got sucked into this. The camouflage was so clever. I mean, nobody suspected what was in the heart of Judas. Now, John tells us here, Simon, in verse 4, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. He nailed him. But the disciples didn't know that at this point. This was one of the things that triggered it, by the way. This was the event that was the straw that broke the camel's back. There was one other thing that Judas didn't like either. Really, really offended him. And that was when Jesus had fed the multitude out in the wilderness. And the next day they all came out there and they wanted to make him their king. And Jesus said, no. That really rankled Judas. He didn't like that one single bit. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. Now the camouflage was this. Why did you waste this ointment? It was worth 300 pence. That's probably the equivalent in our day of a whole year's wages. Look around you and see all the poor people. People that don't have a nice place to sleep at night. They might be sleeping out in the street. They don't have enough to eat. You take this ointment. You pour it on Jesus. Why didn't you sell it and give the money to the poor? Who can argue against giving something to the poor? And the disciples got sucked right into this. And now turn in anger on one of God's own sheep. Vicious, vicious attack. Why did the disciples fall for this? And you know, when Matthew wrote this, this must have really hurt. But he's honest. Give him credit for that. Because he was one of those that was involved in it. What was the problem? Why didn't they see through this? Maybe you can answer that question yourself. The key phrase, as far as I'm concerned, is the phrase that's found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's either Matthew or Mark. But both of them mention it. To what purpose is this waste? And this speaks volumes. This really gets to the heart of the whole matter, doesn't it? In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, the Lord Jesus says this, "To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And there's a truth here, you know. Cold-heartedness toward the Son of God is going to show itself in stinginess toward his cause. Why do you think it is that so many of the churches of our land find themselves in the middle of a financial crisis? Why is it that the money programs are rolling off the press, one right after the other, so fast that you can't count them? Why is it that the cry is constantly going out, "We need your money"? What do you think the cause of all that is? Oh, it's simple. It's simple. There's no love for Christ. If there's a love for Christ, all this other stuff takes care of itself. And the truth of the matter is, and these guys haven't caught on to this yet, the truth of the matter is you don't have to force a child of God to give money to his Savior. The truth of the matter is you couldn't stop him even if you tried. Nobody had to force Mary of Bethany to do this. She did it because she loved her Lord, and she knew that in a week on Passover Day he was going to give his life for her sins. She appreciated that. She loved him for that. And so, to what purpose is this waste? Think of what this is saying. Think of what this is saying. It's saying this: Jesus Christ is not worth this ointment. The ointment is worth 300 pence. You wasted it by pouring it on him. He's not worth it. Well, that depends. Depends on your outlook. Mary of Bethany would not have agreed with that. She would have said, this is way too little. I wish I could do a lot more. He's worth a lot more. The Son of God is worth a lot more than what I've been able to give him. That's what she would have said. Judas considers it a waste. Why don't you analyze him a little bit? The same guy that is viciously attacking Mary and telling her that she wasted that ointment by pouring it on Christ. This is the same guy that's going to sell him for 30 lousy pieces of silver. Think what he's giving up. Selling the Son of God. Selling his Savior. Selling the precious blood that's able to cover his sins. Selling an eternity of glory, eternal life in a new heavens and a new earth where all of the curse of sin is gone. And it's going to be glory, the likes of which we can't begin to imagine. And this guy sells it for 30 pieces of silver. And he's criticizing her for wasting some ointment. Man, oh man. How blind can you get? You know, Jesus said it all. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now you've got here the hiss of the serpent unmistakably there. You can see it very, very clearly. And you have the brightest light that has shined in the Gospels outside of the Son of God Himself. And standing right next to that brightest light, you've got this dark, dark, ugly shadow. Throughout this whole episode, it's striking to me that Mary didn't say one single word. She let her actions do her speaking. And then when the vicious attack was launched, she didn't say one word to defend herself. She didn't have to. Son of God is going to take care of that. We'll get into that, God willing, next week. For now, we'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, it was back in Eden's garden that the Father spoke to the serpent and said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Help us to understand from the words we've looked at today that when we worship our Savior and in our own way pour our precious ointment on His feet, help us to be ready to hear the hiss of the serpent and to endure the indignation and anger and criticism that is going to come from children of the devil and sometimes, sadly, even from your own children on account of it. And give us the faith to be able to withstand this, looking always to the preciousness of the one whom we worship, and realizing that nothing that we possibly can give Him or you is ever wasted. I pray this in your name. Amen.